Blog Talk Radio.
And there we go. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, everyone. Good to have you with us tonight. Welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. We're glad that you're here with us tonight. And, in the past, we had Read the Word, but we also had Establishing Your Faith, which is what this program is called in the evening. But tonight, Establishing Your Faith is going to be the book of Habakkuk. And it just depends whether you say Habakkuk or Habakkuk. And it depends on whether you know, I like to venture strange in terms. Anyway, that's not important. It's going to be a good study tonight. And Habakkuk, although he is a minor prophet, he prophesied a very specific process during the time when the children of Israel were carried away into captivity in Babylon. And so that sets the stage for everything that's going on. And Father, in the name of Jesus, bless this time tonight, be your people. Open up our hearts. We open up our own hearts. We open up our minds to receive information that will produce revelation that will bring transformation in our lives, in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Thank you that our spirit man is already in perfect relationship with you. Thank you that you are alive and well today and every one of us living in us for your temple.
Amen.
Every person tonight, receive the word of God with great gladness, great boldness. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk had also written Psalm chapter 3. Right. He was a chorister in the temple. When it sang, he was also a prophet. The Babylonians did. So, 600 BC, somewhere right there. The purpose of Habakkuk was to remind the prophet himself and his listeners the God of Israel is the true God. The one in control of everything and every event, and he can be trusted. In the face of the mysterious circumstances of life, which often contradict what you and I think should be, one of the struggles that Habakkuk was having was that immoral people, the Babylonians, were being used to judge quote-unquote righteous people. Exactly what God said was going to happen. And so, as we go through it, we're going to see these things, and at the end, Habakkuk gives wonderful glory to God in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. There we go. Sister Leanne's going to do the reading.
Here we go.
For those of you that don't know where Habakkuk is, just look at the beginning of your Bible. And there's no shame in going to the dictionary. Are you coming?
It's before Matthew.
Yes.
By the name of Habakkuk, Zephaniah, although it can be popularized by a couple of chapters per book. So.
Here we go.
The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw, the prophet's question, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear?
Now see, we should never make that statement. And they should not have made that statement. It's a
even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Wow. When do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? Wow. For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. Yow! For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds.
But see, that's what goes on. When the righteous don't listen to the God of heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
And kids go into slavery because of their wickedness. Even though you can sit down this morning again and claim to be God's people. If your mouth is wicked, if your actions are wicked, you don't get into heaven. Huh? Keep going. I'm eating fake nuggets if you're wondering. They're good.
The Lord's reply. This is verse 5. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than even wolves, than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand, and they scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride their stronghold, and they heap up mounds of earth and seize it. Then his mind changes, and he transgresses. He commits offense, imputing this power to his God. The prophet's second question. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil. I'll read that again, verse 13. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours one more righteous than he? Why do you make man like the fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet. Because of them, their share is sumptuous and their food plenteous. Shall they therefore empty? Here comes our Mary back. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? This is chapter 2. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am reproved. So he knows he's going to be in trouble for saying this. I just live by faith. This is chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Woe to the wicked. Verse 5. Indeed, because he transgresses. Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desire as hell, and he is like death, and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. Shall not all these take up a proverb against him and taunt and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his, how long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges. Will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you, and you will become their booty? Because you are plundered, have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it, woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. Verse 10, you gave shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples, and sinned against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire, and the nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Verse 15, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be on your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will cover you, and the plunder of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and the violence of the land and the city and all who dwell in it. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? Yeah, the molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust it to make mute idols.
No, God has been saying that all the way through the prophets.
Yeah.
You made this idol. What can it do for you? You made it. You're the one that created it. And guess what? That idol ain't going to do nothing for you.
Nope.
And yet people say, well, we don't have idols. Well, hey, people make idols of their children, of their job, of their business, of their sport, of their hobby.
Yeah.
Of their ducks and their chickens and their turkeys. I hope everybody caught that joke I just made. What's an idol? An idol is anything that you draw strength from or give glory to that's not God. That's going to be an idol thing.
Yeah.
Because in him we live and move and have our very being. Not anything else. In him we live and move and have our being. And so I think it's very interesting. I've never seen it before, but of course, I never read the Bible out loud before. And the whole Bible. And so it's amazing how many times God says, you made that. Why are you bound down to it? Let's keep reading.
Verse 19. Woe to him who says to wood, awake. To silent stone, arise, and it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and in it there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And this is the prophet's prayer, chapter 3. a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionoth place, verse 2. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God, come from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His
now
glory.
Think about it. He said, in wrath, remember mercy.
Yeah.
Now, his wrath is for his enemies. But you got to realize, if you're his people and you're bowing down to a false god, he calls that spiritual adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And you become his enemy.
And it really is.
All the while claiming, well, no, I don't, I've been born again. Well, nobody's questioning whether or not you've been born again. The reality is, are you walking with God, or did you just do a thing and walk up the aisle and say a prayer and say, well, I got that done?
Yeah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways were everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan and affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over you, arrows. Selah. Oaths were sworn over your arrows, Selah. You divided the earth with rivers. Verse 10. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. In the light of your arrows they went. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation and trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck, Selah. You thrust through with his own arrows. The head of his villages, they came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. A hymn of faith, verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. And that was to the chief musician with stringed instruments.
And let's go to Psalm 3 and read that.
Yeah. But listen to those words that he was speaking there too. It's like, how much of this did they create by saying these things over and over and weren't able to get past it because their words were against them?
I got dropped, so, yeah.
Okay. Mary, you lost power. Did it come back on? Hi, Sunday. Sunday is, on YouTube. I thought Sunday was with us on Zoom, too.
That's the wrong spot, so don't worry about it.
All right.
I want to go back to chapter 2. And, of course, he made the complaint to God, and God gave him a reply, and he asked again. In chapter 2, he said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. That's a right position. And watch to see what he will say to me, but I will answer, but I'm corrected. He knew he was going to be corrected.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord loves to be correct. And anytime we're complaining, you can count on the fact he is going to correct you.
I just can't help it. I got to say it. But
yes,
I'm going to be in trouble.
Chrysler, yes, the vipers. The Chrysler, yes, the vipers. Now, one of the greatest things that you and I have to learn as believers is stop your complaining. You do not receive a reward from any man on this earth. Our reward is from God and not from man, even if you're an employee. They might pay you money, but the reward of your efforts on your work comes from God. Urgingly, that's your reward. So I've got to get a grudging reward. How about you?
I do not.
Well, then change. Let's look at what he said. Then the Lord answered me in 7 and 2. Habakkuk, 2. Write the vision and make it plain on tables that he may run who reads it. For the vision is set for an appointed time. At the end, it will speak. And it will not lie. Go and tarries. Wait for it. Because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith. There is an Old Testament prophet in captivity in Babylon by wicked men, and he's preaching a message of faith in the Old Testament. What is he teaching? This is one of the greatest messages of the whole Bible right here. When God gives you a vision of what's going to happen, what he wants you to do, write it down. Write it down. Wait, why can't you see me? I mean, I'm waving my arms and everything.
I was going to say, it looks like you turned your camera off.
Wait, he brings it to life to you. That's called revelation. That day is the day you get the greatest picture of it. The picture probably comes to you in about 45 seconds. It's going to take you months and years to write it all out how God wants it to be. So what does he say? Write the vision and make it plain. Wait, what if it's just your prayers for your children? Write the vision, make it plain, ask God what they're supposed to be, and then don't stop praying until it's given. Make it plain. Why? Because he that runs, got the vision in his hands, he's got to be able to read it while he's running in the vision comes. And then he said, though the vision perish, every time God tells you to do something, it's already done. It's established before the foundations of the earth for you to walk in. So it's already done. But now you and I got to walk up the steps for it to happen. So you don't have to run. You have to get up and get moving and go through the course so that you can get to the other end and see that mission come back. He said, though it tarry, wait for it. And God is already done. So if it tarries, what's the problem?
Us.
Did you see how she looked right at me when she said that? That's always a problem. The problem is never God. You can't point your finger at God ever and say, you're late, you don't love me, you're not providing, you're not taking care of me. You couldn't have said that. Because that's a griper. It is not true about God. His work is already done through Jesus. It's already done. There's nothing else Jesus can do for you except help you receive what he's already done. It's already done. That's why we play that song in the afternoon worship so much. It's because this is already done.
Mm-hmm.
This work is already done. Now you and I just got to walk out the center. Well, then he said, to the program. God, guys, not going to be that basically proud, very impulsive. But the just, those who have been justified, just as if I never sinned, will live by faith. That will be your force. And what is faith? You see that mountain? And you tell it to move. You see the vision.
And know it's going to.
And know it's going to. And you see the vision you get made of. If it's your marriage, speak to it. I have the most perfect marriage there is.
Amen.
My wife is the most perfect wife there is.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And, but see, people are like, well, when it's not possible to come to that, Jesus is going to make it happen. Well, he cannot make it happen without you. Because he limited himself. He limited himself by his covenant to you and I getting involved in what he's doing. We can't do it without him. He won't do it without us.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I got to get this. We got to do what's right, no matter what. We got to grow. We got to learn. We got to change. Most believers never grow past their first revelation of God. Most believers never grow past their first revelation of God.
Isn't that something? Yeah, people become very content once they've had that first revelation and don't realize they need to go further.
Like babies, they're satisfied to be cared for and spoon fed and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And they've been in the kingdom for 4 years and stole the diapers.
Yeah.
Want somebody to carry them around.
That is not God. And Mary wants to know what the difference is between... Hold on, I got to get back to that screen. Stating a fact or complaining, I think it was.
Well, the bottom line, let's say it's money. And you can see the hundredfold return. You've sown the seed, you've paid your tithe, you've worshipped the Lord with your tithe and all that stuff. And it's really easy to say, well, God, in heaven, I've been doing all this. Why aren't you? No. That's a complainer. Say, Father, help me where this is at and how to make it like your word is. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But when we start, I've done this, and this, see, now that's all based on what you've done. And grace is a gift. It's not a good work, but we definitely got to do some work.
God is making the end of those babies. We never understand that the kingdom of God is within us. And until we grow, until we ask the God that's in us, until God in us.
Amen. And all of it, every single bit of it, demands of us that we grow, that we develop, that we become more like God every single day.
Amen.
And God is such a gentleman. He won't force us to accept his love.
Amen.
He won't force us to accept his Holy Spirit. He won't force us to receive the gifts that he has for us. We have to accept it, receive it. Like if I gave you a check for $10,000 and you didn't believe in it, you didn't care about it, and you never cashed that check, it wouldn't do you any good.
Amen.
How about that to my pocket?
Excuse me, I don't have a problem with God and other people.
Well, honey, that's how we all feel.
Yeah, I just have to let the ignorance of other people go. What is going on in your life? Even hate to say anything. Yeah, sometimes. Is that what happened, Mary? You said something to someone and back to my potatoes. You said something to someone and they began complaining?
If I talk about it, it sounds like I'm complaining.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to complain. It's just things that happen to me constantly. Day after day after day after day, and the good Lord gives me the strength to get through it.
Amen.
But it wears you out. It really wears you out. And when you share what is going on in your life with other people, it sounds like you're complaining. I don't like that.
present it to God and let it go and don't give it another thought, because the more thoughts you give it, the more enemy is going to keep shooting fiery darts at you, and you just got to slap them down and keep moving. Because if he can keep you hung up on that instead of moving forward and progressing in the things that God has for you and that God wants you doing, he'll keep you hung up right there.
And I want to say something to encourage you on this, because if we're not, sometimes we'll be like, I'm the only one that this happens like this. I'm afraid. Every single one of us has to face this.
Yes.
And that's a sometimes the pastor of the church faces it more than anything, because people say such stupid, unintelligent, unhelpful things. And it's a fiery dart that the enemy will tend to destroy your faith in God.
Yeah.
And but you look at what Nehemiah said to them, that guy. He said, I'm not going
to keep cutting
this wall, and you will not make me sin. I'm not going to use that my mouth cause me to sin. So, am I cutting out?
Yeah, you do keep cutting in and out. And that is right, that Nehemiah, he recognized that that was exactly what, that was exactly what that spirit was trying to do, was get him to sin with his mouth. And then that would ruin everything he was trying to accomplish there. It's amazing how powerful our words are. In
but I don't think people realize sometimes, because it's so intense, and like my
example,
it's hurt. Oh, yeah. You can't imagine some of the hurtful things that people have said and done to me throughout my time in ministry.
It happens every day.
You know, and some people think that they're blessing you when they do it. And there ain't a blessed thing about it. you know, and yet, you're like, aren't you having to help you? You didn't help nothing. You're the biggest thorn I have in my flesh. The whole reason I'm saying this is, I very specifically ask the Holy Spirit help me to forget it and try on.
Mm-hmm.
Because God will forgive them of that sin. He will go there again into the sea of his forgetfulness. And if God will go their sins into the sea of his forgetfulness, then you and I need to do it too. That's just how it is.
Well, I think that's, but I think I have done that. There's something there that keeps coming back that
called a fiery dart.
Yes. Yep.
Get really violent with that fiery dart with the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus and your position as a child of God and an ambassador, and get very violent with it because it's a demonic spirit shooting a fiery dart at you.
Yeah.
Because there's no way any of us can happen to us.
I know.
The only thing we can do is put it under our foot, brush it, and move on and say, well, that's one thing I know. If Jesus' blood washed every sin I had away, this thing has no power over it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to say that, you know, only about 733 times in one day.
Yeah.
My first couple of weeks out here doing what I'm doing right now, I had a bad attitude. I can't do nothing for you if you don't change your attitude. And I'm like, well, I certainly want you to do something for me. And he's like, well, then change your attitude. And I'm like, consider this attitude change.
One thing that helps a lot with that for me, because you're saying what is the difference between speaking what's going on and not complaining, and actually if the speaking what's going on is not in line with changing it, then there's no sense in even speaking it, because you're giving that power and that time to that wrong thing that you want to dissolve. So, you know, if you're telling Rebecca what's going on about something that she can't change or has nothing to do with, you just happen to be saying it to her, you're opening up to more fiery darts, and it's going to keep you camping there. The only time you should even mention it is if it is to actively change something and it has to be said. Otherwise, you're speaking what you don't want, and that's going to give it power. And that is a difficult, difficult thing to do. But ask yourself always, is this going to purposely change something? Otherwise, I'm not wasting my breath and giving the enemy glory and power.
It's like divorce. It's the easiest way to describe this. Some people who get divorced are divorced for the rest of their life. They walk around with a big D on their forehead. They have a big D on their chest. They wear one on their back, one on each arm. And from that day forward, they are divorced. And that divorce now interprets everything about their life. But divorce is something that happens on one day. If you have kids, it's going to be bad. You have to deal with it. You have stuff, you're going to have to separate it. But if you don't take that situation and say, that happened, that day, I'm moving on, you will spend the rest of your life in that day replaying how bad they were, how much they did you wrong, and usually not at all ever considering what you did wrong yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes two to tango. And I know myself, I'm divorced. I know myself. And I just said, that's it. That's the day. That's all done. I'm moving on. I am moving on. I am not going to be by this one day for the rest of my life. And you have to make those statements 733 times in some days. It's just how you do it.
I guess I'm not explaining myself. But that's okay. I just want to sort of lie.
Oh, yeah, we are. Well, I don't have a problem saying this because the last thing I said about Rebecca, wait, what did you say? Rebecca. Is the just shall live by faith. And that's what, that is the crux of the question you're asking, is how do you live by faith and overcome this? Because it is real. And
oh my goodness, it is real.
The farther we get to the end, you're gonna see people betray people left and right every day. And you and I are going to find people betraying us. We're going to have to say, well, I guess they just taught me how close they're going to live to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to let that control me or destroy me. Just because somebody betrays me, doesn't matter how bad it hurts. That's a pretty hurtful thing to let in my life. Whatever. All that person did is just prove to me how close they're going to be in my life. I don't have no animosity. God forgive me. God will forgive them. I pray God forgives them. But the bottom line, I'm going to keep moving. And they're just not going to be close to me anymore. God bless America.
You know, all these fiery guys have come for years. I'm no spring chicken. In my younger days, I used to say, and I've lost it, that's terrible. I lost what I was going to say.
Well,
you know,
one thing about it, in your younger days,
And if it wasn't a good thing, it's a good thing that you lost it.
Oh, well, that's what I was going to say. I know what I was going to say. I used to tell myself that there must be, God knows everything. There must be something that that the devil knows I'm going to do, and he don't like it. So he's going to try and stop me.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally used to say that to myself. But
that's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's the enemy is trying to bring you offense. Jesus made a statement. Woe to the person through which offense comes. Jesus said the word woe. That means all the horrible things of this earth and God come upon you. Well, it's to the person the offense. Jesus said, if you offend a little one, a long walk off a short pier with a heavy stone. So when they said what's going to be the sign, Jesus said, don't be deceived. And offenses are coming. And it's just one of the last day is one of the most important things that you and I learned to deal with. And people have literally told me I'm cold-hearted.
Love, do you know your camera's off again? Excuse me.
Well, I said my pictures on. I don't like that.
We like to see you when we're not offended with your pigtail. There you go.
Literally, as the closer we get, we are going to have to just learn how to crush offense the moment it happens and just keep moving and not let it stop us a single moment of any day. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Yep, just that, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. You might not love me. I used to say this. I probably have said it a long time, but I don't care how mean you are to me. You can't stop me from loving you.
Oh, I said that a lot.
And that's it. You have, just depending on the person, you have now shown me how close I'm going to be in my life.
Yeah.
But, oh, well. I didn't do it, you did it, and I forgive you for doing it, but let's keep moving. You go where you're going to go, I'm going to go where I'm going to go, and I'm going to go.
Why did everybody lose that? Why did I lose that from my youth to now when I used to say, well, the devil must know what God wants me to do, and he taught me, and I just kept going forward. But why
can
I not do that in my old age?
Say, I can do that. I can.
Yeah. Just start saying, I can. Write that statement down and carry it around the house and say it so that it's deep inside your soul. Seriously. I know people might not think I do that, but I do. It's like the other day. Everything was going wrong. And the only thing that I was coming up with to say is God is making all grace abound toward me. And 2 minutes later, God is making all grace abound toward me. And 2 minutes later, God is making all grace abound toward me. Because every time the fiery dart comes, you have to answer that fiery dart, or it sticks in your shield.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon you got a flaming torch on your arm. That shield extinguishes those fiery darts and causes you to overcome. And this is interesting because I can tell that listening tonight, or sometime in the future, maybe even in the moment, maybe even in the 7-year tribulation, there's somebody saying, Pastor, you don't know what, and then they always got something that they're going to say. Well, this is what I got to say to you. because you and I just put the authority of that event over top of Jesus, who has all power, all authority, all might, all dominion, all strength, all honor, all glory. And I'm not going to put anything about Jesus. Most definitely not a dumb human. He couldn't figure out how to not offend me or let me offend them. But I just love everybody. I don't hate nobody. I want to do good to every person I ever meet. There's some people that they don't want you to do. Anyways, I just want to stress this for every person. In the last days, and especially in years of tribulation, you're going to have to drive a fence all throughout your life. Quit being offended. If you find yourself being offended, you know, go stand in the mirror and suck your thumb a little bit and say, there, that's what we look like being offended.
I just need to grow, and I feel like there is something standing in my way. I'm trying to figure out what it is.
It's you.
Excuse me.
But wait, what's standing in the way of me growing?
Me. For me to ask myself, how can you ask me all these dumb questions?
No, you're helping many grow.
You can't stand in my way. The only thing that stands in any of our ways of growing is ourselves. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm standing in my own way of growing. I'm going to tell you that. I just straight up admitted and just boldly say in front of God that way.
But when you're doing, how can you move out of the way? When you don't know what's broke, how can you fix it?
Well, God knows what's broke. And he brought you to this program tonight, so you know how to hear his voice. One of the things, it's just all part of the situation is God just looking at ourselves. It's like, oh, I am his sheep. I hear his voice. He makes himself very plain to me. It's all based on the words that's coming out of our own mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And why I'm not afraid to say this publicly to you, and not afraid to offend you, is every one of us, including me. I say it to ourselves all the time, to each other. And I just said it to her right here on the air in front of God and everybody. Nobody threw anything at me, but I was just teasing her. There's only one thing standing in our way. And that's our lack of understanding of God. And just like we say on a regular basis, get those verses that God brings to you, get them out, and then speak them. Don't stop until you've spoken them 1,000 times, literally. Because what that does is puts that word in your heart bigger than the offense. I don't know if you remember the story, but it's as good as you're saying. That's not a
Were you doing something wrong?
I don't have my seatbelt on.
Do you realize you said my name on live?
Goodness, that is an amazing series, yeah.
Now, the reason I tell everybody all the time, you get interested in right now, I listen to that 12-hour series. There's 12 days in it. I listen to that 5 times all the way through in 1 month. Because I knew I was going to have to come face to face with these people who did me wrong. And I was not going to do wrong. And I was not going to sin when I saw them. And that meant the only way I was going to happen is I had to get the revelation of the offense. Of God's deliverance from that offense so deep in my heart, and I had 30 days to do it. And I literally studied that series 5 times in 1 month. What series? It's called The Fate of Satan by John Bevere. And you know what? Now that you're asking it, we're going to just go ahead and do it right here on the program. We're all coming up with ready to work. We're going to go ahead and do that and study it with Brother John Bevere and let everybody else study it with us.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. It's an amazing, amazing series.
But here's the crux of it. You can't change what somebody does to you. But you can change how you respond to it.
Yeah.
And there was right after that one man sent 4,500 emails out about me and called me everything except free white 21. And included me in an email broadcast so he could see it, so I could see
what he had done
to all those people.
So much similarity to what's going on in my life. Okay, I'm trying to scale.
And I just looked at it and said, you know what? There's no way to take that down. And it's wrong. So people of integrity expect to be believed. And I'm a man of integrity. And it don't matter what he calls me. It won't be long, and everybody who said that to will be a liar.
Yep.
And they'll realize that I am still walking in the same integrity, and what he said was a lie, and zero truth to it, and he'll be seen as a liar. And guess what? That took about 3 months.
Yeah.
And everything he said was exposed. There was about 3 people that called me on it. I said, what about all this? I tried to explain to one guy before. I tried to explain to more. He thought I was whacked out. And I just said, stop, brother. You don't need to sit down. I said, I'm going to always be the same me. And that doesn't sound like me, does it? He goes, I don't think so, Richmond. I said, well, just watch. I'm just going to tell you, just watch my life. I'm not going to change. I'm not doing anything wrong. You know me. And that man was about hate my savior. He goes, you're right. He said, that dude, well, he ended up getting divorced. He had a heart attack. All kinds of horrendous things happened to him. And when God finally kicked the whole thing and brought the justification to the situation, I was asked to be a part of a big event. I went, and I was really just—I wasn't doing anything in front. I was just being me. I just had my wife. Anything I could do to help, I was just being on the sidelines, just helping, honoring the veterans. And the guy in charge of the whole event brought me up front and honored me with the Marine Corps flag that was flown over the event. Ready? Right after the guy that did me wrong walked up on the platform and gave his $5,000 check that he was so proud and boastful and had a very attitude. And as soon as they called me up on the platform and handed me that flag, he left people with him. And everybody looked at him and said, that man is wrong. And he was shamed. I didn't do it. I ain't never going to shame nobody to step in front. My mouth is sealed. You offend me, I'm not going to tell anybody. But that ends in life. Not going to give a life. That's one day, one event. I got 24 hours a day to live from that event on. And I'm not going to live it underneath these series of misunderstandings, confusions, hatreds, whatever somebody's got toward me. But I know I'll fix anything with anybody. So guess what? They just made a decision. Who knows what you're going to do? It's not going to include me. I guarantee that. And I'm not going to walk with somebody. In fact, I'll tell you another story. And love reminds me, let's just go through that series.
Yeah. And I want to say something real quick, too. God tells us in the Bible, if someone offends us, we give it to him and let him avenge us. If we try to deal with it ourselves, like going after that person or trying to right it ourselves, he will remove his anger from them and put it on you. It's best for you to keep your mouth shut, let them do their thing, give it to God, and he'll deal with it. He will avenge you so much better than you ever could.
Well,
that's
right.
I understand that, but I'm coming from this. I feel like I'm letting God decide. Like I'm being a complainer, which I want to stop it.
Yeah. You're not surprising him.
I just don't want to let God down.
Yeah, well, you're growing and learning. We all are.
Jesus shed his blood for the most vile sinner there is.
Yes.
I'm sure you remember the man named the Son of Sam, the serial killer, which is a vile individual. And Dr. James Dobson got to go to prison and see the man born again. Jesus forgave that man. If Jesus forgives that man, Jesus forgives you and I. And for the rest of our lives, we're going to spend every single day growing and developing as a son or daughter he loves. You're not going to do anything so bad that Father's not going to say, he's going to say, let's do that. I mean, we just read the show in the book, but my goodness, that was,
oh my
that
goodness.
Was 800 years of choosing to go wrong. And then you don't have a heart that's wrong, Mary. You have a heart that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's condemnation making you afraid of, well, what if I do something to make God mad? But you make God mad. He's your father. And, yeah. And a lot of them got mad when you didn't say you were wrong. Well, it doesn't make a difference. It worked that bottom 5 times.
Which fury?
I was trying to see my real father when I was sitting inside the car and he was underneath it working. He was in kids, set still and don't move around in that car. Well, I had a full skirt dress. I was probably 5. And I wanted to see my father, so I scooted out of the car very, very slowly. But my skirt got caught on a rubber dam. And guess where that landed? I was trying to please my father, and I was trying to be good. You know, and my bottom turned black and blue over that deal.
That's not my problem.
He chases, he loves, but he doesn't beat those he loves.
Yeah.
And honestly, if I know nobody's asking, but it doesn't matter what they ask you now.
Because you got the microphone, huh?
I got the microphone
and the video. You might climb out of the truck with a phone down there. Honestly, if you're black and blue,
you're
your kid's
butt,
you're doing it wrong. Well, I'm not blaming my dad. What's my thing?
What?
You being nice to my father. My father was a very good person. He spent a lot of good things. My kid is pastor, I would try to please my earthly father like I tried to please God in heaven, and I still got a one, I don't know what I got out of it. I got not what I thought I was going to get. I thought I was going to please my father, and I did please him. You know, so that's the way I feel with my heavenly father. I do things to try and please him and be good, and lo and behold, my skirt touches on a rubber hammer and it falls.
Well,
I need to move on in life.
And you're an adult now, and so to God, that stuff's not going to, that stuff's not even going to come into play. You're an adult. And God don't have to whip you. He's going to gently guide you.
Right.
Take the emphasis off of the woman and look at the fact that a person is trying to do good, but things go backwards.
Mm-hmm. That's why he sent his son, because he knew how many things in this world we're going to try to go against us, because there's an active enemy here and all of his cohorts. That's why God sent us Jesus.
So the devil had control of my skirt and that hammer.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, and the fact that you were a 5-year-old in a car.
There's a whole lot of that. I wouldn't trust him with that, the devil.
Yeah, that's just a 5-year-old in a car, being a 5-year-old in a car.
And listen, let's make sure we say that again, too. And I will never tell you, I'm like Peter, I'm going to tell you this whether you want to hear it or not. And that is this. I'm listening. Cannot glorify our enemy by continually speaking to him or about him. It's a challenge, because you want to say, the enemy, we end up thinking about you say, you end up talking about the enemy, he's a run away.
Yeah.
So, it's a training process. No way around it. You have to train yourself. Just like you train your kids, how do you train your kids? You have to train yourself. I'm going to ask, like, and look at that scripture. And so much a part of you that it literally is second nature to you. And
mm-hmm.
We're going to enjoy this. You know, make sure you're a part of this for the next 6 hours and maybe 12. But you're going to enjoy this. And remember,
so enlightening.
Jesus said, probably the biggest sin that you and I are going to have to deal with in the last day is the sin of offense. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you right now, when that whole thing with Roe versus Wade happened,
a lot of people I know
that ended up on the wrong trial, and they would be very offended at being called these and pricks of their names. But I don't care. Because I know what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion is killing a baby. And I love all of you who would yell, scream, holler, call me vile names, but there will be a day when you'll stand before the judge of all the earth. You'll give an account of every one of those words that you just said. And it's probably not going to go good for you. Probably need to change your ways and probably your expenses, because murder is murder, whether it's a baby or an old person or anyways.
But Jesus won't forgive you if something like that did happen in the past, as long as don't do it again, if that's not correct.
Yeah, if you repent, absolutely.
We were at, where were we at where we saw that lady who was the abortion lady? Where were we at when she got born again?
Oh, that was on, oh my goodness, it was on a program of message that we were watching.
Flashpoint,
yes.
Yeah, she had worked at an abortion clinic for what, 10 years?
Mm-hmm. What's
long.
She
was consistent with 25,000 abortions.
Mm-hmm.
And with her four abortions on Saturday, went to church on Sunday, and never once thanked that what she did on Saturday was wrong. She said, my church preached about adultery, but it was wrong, and fornication, but it was wrong, and that you go to hell and get five, but never taught from the pulpit that this was wrong. And then one day, she was born again, and she realized, I have been personally responsible, you know, personally involved with the murder of 25,000 But her eyes were blinded by the light of this world. And God looked at it as the thing that God said about everyone else. Do you receive my son Jesus? Yes. Okay. Not only do you remember him, I'll thank you another day. And that's what all of us have to get on the inside of us. Just look at the devil and say, you can't stop me. That offense ain't going to stop me. That fear ain't going to stop me. That weakness I've spoke about myself all my life isn't going to stop me. I'm going to be the boldest, loudest, strongest, greatest child of God that anybody's ever seen. Bankrupt. 3 times by climbing at 50. And how God was praying, said, Lord, help me, because I'm on the way up this one. God said, Peter, will you let me? and put into my kingdom. And it's like that. He said, most certainly. He said, all right, well, let us do this. And God gave him a plan. And he began to listen to God. And I forget, within 12 years or something, he was a billionaire. A billionaire with $1 billion still meant something. He was so scared. A baking soda water takes before he went on the platform to speak in front of people so he didn't have diarrhea in front of everybody. Why? Because God told him what he was going to make him. When I heard it, when I saw it personally, I was in the service. So I've been in three different services. But he was probably the most dynamic speaker I have ever heard. This power. And yet, a man of God, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and a billionaire. Sells gold bullion cube coins all over the world. And on the coins are the faces of the 12 apostles. If you buy gold from his gold company, you're going to buy the 12 apostles. And physically, literally, personally, himself bankrolled for Christ in Asia for 25 years out of his pocket. And God said, that's how much what man can put into my witness. Just listen to him. So, I just encourage everybody. I encourage you. No matter what weakness you've always lived with, no matter what fear you've always had, no matter anything, don't let it stop you. Do not let it stop you. Because that's all it is. It's already. It is the enemy. It's already defeated. It's already crushed and destroyed.
Yeah.
All it can do is send it fiery darts for just a picture. It's not a reality. I've had abdominal pain now for about a month again. And I'm like, I don't know what you think you're doing, but the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives inside my mortal body. I am not. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not sick. So it don't matter what it is. Go away. Get out of my life. It doesn't matter if you have to say it 50 times in one day. Every time you say it like it was the first time. And then it goes away. Because Jesus, he didn't let any of that stuff stick around. God, for that. What time is it?
It is 5 to 9.
Ah, it's a good program. I don't know
it is.
I don't ask a lot of questions. And I don't get tired of them.
Especially this, because this is such a common quest or an issue for so many people. This is.
And the enemy is going to make it. They already crushed it by the blood of Jesus' enemy. It's going to try to make offense the number one thing in the last day.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many mega churches that are going to crumble when this thing starts shaking. Because God's going to shake it.
Yeah.
They don't have no righteousness in them. When that happens, the majority of those people will be offended at God, which is what the already crushed, defeated, worthless, useless, have no power, strength enemy wants people to do, is to be angry and hurt at God. And you and I are going to have to help people that are offended get over themselves.
Yeah.
And crush it. You can't tell people to get over it because people get offended at that. But I'm going to tell you.
But moving past it is a huge thing. We all need to remember we're here with a purpose, and it isn't to get tied up in all of this earthly stuff. It is to do God's will and move his kingdom forward. And if that becomes our focus, just like what Pastor was just talking about with Peter Daniels, his entire life, his focus changed from his earthly stuff to, wow, I'm doing what God wants me to do. And basically his attitude became not trying to get out of this stuff. It's like, I just don't have time to deal with this petty stuff. We've got way bigger stuff to do. And he moved forward in God, and his whole life changed. And that's what we need to remember. We're here with a purpose, not to get stuck in all of that stuff, to move.
You know, I really don't like it when a pet comes from my own family. I don't like that.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I don't like that. But Proverbs says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. What does that say to you and I when we read that proverb? It says this: the enemy is going to do everything, already defeated, crushed by the blood of Jesus. No power belongs in his hand at all. It's going to try to, his number one attack is going to try to separate brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So be aware of it. Then Jesus said, children will betray their parents to the death. So we can see that that's going to happen. Just be ready for it. If your children betray you, don't stop telling them you love them. But don't be in their face. If they don't want to be around you, you can't take them.
And don't let yourself be buried in the mire because of it.
Children will betray their parents to the death. Well, if that happens, and I pray it don't, honestly, there's nothing you can do except say, well, they're my kids. I'll never stop loving them. I'll never stop praying for them. They may not want me at their house, but whatever. You can't stop me from loving them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm still send a postcard with $100 bill on it. Say, I love you. Send them a gift card to your favorite restaurant. They'll use it. No, maybe not. Maybe they'll burn it. It doesn't matter. You do right because
Amen.
Nobody can make you wrong. To do wrong is the choice.
I want to see how you put that $100 bill inside that postcard.
Oh,
that's really good.
Wait, I've got
charge of $100
bill, so that, you know,
it's
like what's on the business.
That's good.
That's really good.
How did you even catch that?
It's too funny. I take it through. Don't worry. It'll make it all the way there.
Yeah.
That's really good. And card. There we go.
Send in a card. I just wanted you to know I was listening.
Yeah.
You were.
Better than I was because I didn't catch that.
Better than I was. Wow, what a night. What a night. And you know what? I'm pretty quiet. I thought about doing this. Don't know why I have to, but that's right. Here we are. Let's do it.
So, tonight, before the program started, I was just telling myself, Mary, don't talk too much. Don't go, she goes. But here I am talking. So, if I'm out of line, I want to apologize.
I rebuke you. We're not going
to do
a whole bunch.
You're not out of line. If you think of your sister and brother in Christ, then who can you talk to?
Yeah. If your heart was wrong, then I would have to say to you, that, well, let's talk about this at another time, because I wouldn't want to offend you on the air and have to rebuke you for crossing it.
Yeah, but you have to edit. You have to do some editing.
Yeah. Yeah. But your heart's not wrong. You have somebody to listen, to hear that. And you're not a wimp. You're not a weakling. You're not a crybaby. That's what I talk about your dad. Daddy wasn't a crybaby. He was going to get real tough with you. And so I backed off. I had a very good thought.
Yeah. But no, this was perfect, Mary. This is such a common struggle that so many people need to learn how to, you know, work through and to deal with. So this was a great subject.
When I was talking to God with Christ, he told me to believe in this. And then he said, you know what, he was
need to hang up. No. Because he knew you were going to do all of this before you were ever on this earth. This is not a surprise to him, and he still loved you. He still sent Jesus for you.
The folks of the people that were going to kill them on some of them. And it just so happened that with a change of heart, he became really zealous for Jesus.
When he changed
his heart and his mind, he all of a sudden he loved Jesus more than himself. Can you believe that?
And that became the most important focus in his life, was to
absolutely
live for Jesus.
So,
and it changed everything.
The thing is, what I'm trying to tell you is that God knows all about that. He loves us so much. All you have to do is admit that he loves you and you want to be part of him. And now you just... It's like whenever you change your mind about something, you know, when you repent, that's not the same thing as crying and crying. Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't get it. What you do is you stop, you turn around, and you go the other way. That's what repenting is. Like, I'm repenting one time. I'm doing some real bad training on some of his people. And he repented and decided, no, I'm not going to do that. That's what repenting is. Okay? So don't need to be trapped down. You don't need to trap yourself either. Just tell God to love him. Tell Jesus thank you. And you go on your way being nice and good and practicing the love of God the way he intended you to.
Amen.
things, we're going to have to confront some real issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's personal, deep personal stuff. We do our best to deal with those privately. I don't feel like anything that Mary said is such a private nature that
right.
I didn't mention any names.
You didn't mention any names.
But it's okay.
Not my name.
You're welcome. Well, for the first time, I actually made it all the way home to the program.
You did. I can hear him in the kitchen. All right. Awesome. Father God, we thank you for these wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for this time that we're able to come together. Thank you that you always bring before us the things that we need to grow and learn in. And you give us the strength and the wisdom to deal with these things as we grow in you. We bless your holy name. We delight to do your will. Every one of us are here seeking you. We seek you diligently, Lord. And we do delight to do your will. And we thank you for your empowerment in our life to accomplish all of the things that you want us to do and to get past these things that are that have tried to hold us back. Thank you for the empowerment to move past them all. And we bless this time together. We thank you for your blessing on it and for each one of us that are here. We speak your peace and wisdom and knowledge and understanding into each one of our lives every day. And we thank you again for all of your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hello.
14.
Do you want to just come over here and say?
No. Just keep going. Read the verses.
All right. Oh, all right. We're going to read communion verses here. First Corinthians 11:23-28. For I received from the Lord. Hold on, let me get my elements here. And pastors. You need juice. I didn't get you juice. I didn't know you'd be home. All right, here we go. These are the communion verses. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, or his redemptive work. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And then 1 John 4. I'm telling you, I need to get rid of some of the things on the back of this Bible here because it makes it really hard to find John. 1 John 4:17-18. That's a do 16. asking to. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And let's do 19 too, because we love him because he first loved us.
Because he first
loved us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sunday, for verses. I so appreciate that.
Now, for all of you that are new communionizers with us, Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So when we come to the communion elements, if you're a member of the body of Christ, you have every bit of access to receive the communion elements whenever they are shared. And I encourage you, myself, I encourage you to do it every day. I encourage you to receive communion in your own home with you and your family, because you are a prophet, a priest, and a king in your own life. You're not a prophet of the fivefold ministry, but the bottom line is, this is not something that's supposed to be done at Christmas and Easter. This is something that Jesus wants us to enjoy every single day. I believe it's one of the best answers for offense, is that you and I start our day with communion and say, I've sinned. The reality is, I have sinned. My sin will keep me from heaven. It doesn't matter what anybody else has done. They could commit the most heinous crime against you, but their sin isn't going to separate you from God.
Amen. Amen.
If there's sin in your life that you've committed, that is what separates us from God. And so, this is one of the great things you can do to be free from sin. Let's see if I can.
Do I need to mute?
I got to mute, guys. No, I got to mute. You don't mute anything. Mute. There. How's that sound? Can everybody hear me? Can everybody, somebody speak up or type up or something. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, yes.
There we go. Thank
Bless
you, guys.
Now, so we just welcome you. We want you to be a part of the program with us. We want you to be a part of communion with us. And thank you for being here and being a part. And share this with everybody. Almost every video, it's not every video like we used to be able to say, but almost every video we have has communion on it, because Holy Spirit said to me at the beginning of the community of faith, somebody new is going to come to this video. I want them to have the opportunity to get born again, and I want them to have the opportunity to receive the communion elements. And I have been very faithful to truly make that happen to the best of my ability, and make communion very, very, very powerful. I did not hear what you said.
Undo your camera.
My camera is
Well, how come it's just showing your words?
That was you.
I see me.
Mute you and you see my words. Anyways, so welcome. We're glad to have you with us tonight. How we're going to do this is we're going to pray the prayer of salvation so that we know every person that's with us is born again. Those of you who might be coming back to God, maybe you've been away and you're like, man, Pastor, you've inspired me to want to know God. I hope so. That's our desire. That is my desire for every one of these programs, that I might know him. And I want you to know him for who he is, God our Father. And so pray this prayer with me. I'll say a few words at a time. You guys pray it. All you guys on Zoom, pray it with us. Let's sound. It'll sound like church. I like church.
Me too.
Our church is just in the air.
It is.
You realize our church is a satellite church?
It is.
Beam me up, Scotty. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
So this is my statement.
So this is my statement.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
And I receive you into my life.
And I receive you into my life.
Right now.
Right now.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life. With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
And as a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Everybody give him a big cheer. Everybody give him a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! You did it.
Amen.
I'm not real sure what it's trying to say to me, so.
You need to unmute so I can mute so they can see you.
It is in the gallery view where they can see us all. No? Well, then don't take my call. Make me the host and not the co-host, and then I'll deal with the whole show.
Right. I was going to say that because my sound is overriding, it's showing me and not you.
Oh, well, don't talk so loud.
Okay, I'm mute. I'm muted, so you unmute.
You can't mute because when you mute, then that shuts everything off. All right, so don't worry about us. We're trying to solve technology. And I have been saying this a lot lately. The last thing in the world to be offended at is technology. Do not be offended at technology. All right, just don't. Just no matter what, just don't. Hold on just a second. Just, did everybody get it? Just don't be offended.
Urge to have a chocolate covered cherry.
I think it's good.
Oh, you have normal urge, honey. Normal.
It's normal. I don't know why that is.
Now, here we go. So welcome to the kingdom. We're glad to have you here with us. We're glad that you've decided to be here. Now, you might say, Pastor, what just happened in my life? Well, this is what happened. All of God's grace, mercy, love, and righteousness just filled you. The author and finisher of the faith just filled you. The light of the world just filled you. Jesus himself just came inside your being and by the Holy Spirit of God filled you to overflowing with him. Some people say that the experience lasts for days. I like it when it lasts for days. Some people say it's the greatest rush they've ever had. One old druggie I got born again said, man, that's the best high I've ever had. And I'm like, dude, ain't a high. You just, God just came in. So you didn't get religion. You didn't get churchianity. You didn't get a denomination. You've just got God living on the inside of you. When Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't die. Adam and Eve lived to be 900 years old. Their spirit man died. They lost that perfect connection with God Almighty. You were just born again, and you got the connection back. You've been restored to the connection with God like Eden. Since Genesis 1:26, God said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion. And that's what your responsibility is from this day forward. You might say, Pastor, I don't even know how to do any of that. Well, we do. So stick with us. And I don't say that arrogantly. I just say that we've studied the Bible. I've been around the kingdom now for 59 years. I've studied a lot of the Bible. I have come to a very solid understanding of God. And I want to share all of that with you. Hundreds of videos that are open like this, studies. Most of them, we are laughing and having, righteousness, joy, and peace, mm-hmm. and the Holy Ghost right out of Romans chapter 14. Mm-hmm. And so we welcome. You say, well, how do I know what to do next? Send me an email. I got a playlist on YouTube of messages called The Reality of Righteousness that I want you to have. There's no I don't have no requirements. Listen to it all in the next week. And I'm not doing that. But I want you to have it so you can begin to study them and say, wow, that's interesting. It's very natural. It's very much our life. At that point when we were filming those, at the beginning of them, my dad had just gone to heaven and my wife's brother had just gone to heaven. And so we were in a very interesting place in our lives. So you see us in a bunch of different locations. But every bit of it is the word of God. And it was coming through all of the circumstances of life. They're still coming through with the reality of righteousness. And I need you to study that. And then if you have a question or 50, send them to me, hgpreacherman@gmail.com, and I'll be glad to get back to you. You ready? Now, let's receive the communion elements together. Can you see me now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm much happier now.
Thank you, Jesus. I had a good day and made it home for communion.
I know. This is wonderful.
Glory.
I love it.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I feel like them. Never mind. Ready? Hold your communion elements up. It's bread and water or grape juice. And the first thing we're going to do is bless them. You ready? Everybody pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
And sanctify them for this time of communion.
And sanctify them for this time of communion.
With you.
With you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace
is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
in my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every
in my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and you counted it all joy that we could be born again. Thank you. And now we lift up a cup of blessings. The blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you
for
it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
Forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
Forever and ever.
Amen.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes, they're pure white.
My robes are pure white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
And not a single blemish.
And not a single blemish.
He will keep me from stumbling.
He will keep me from stumbling.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his blood shed together. Glory be to God. Lord,
thank you, Lord.
You want to sing a song? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. And makes me white as snow. No other God I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I love it. I do.
Man, I heard
love
that.
It.
I heard that. I said, young lady, that. We use so much in worship, Crystal Gale, or
Oh,
Charity.
Charity Gale.
singing that song about the blood that she wrote. My goodness sakes, is that a powerful song about the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's one of them. If you're having a day of fiery darts, you need to get that song out and just live in it, because that song puts the blood of Jesus right in the devil's face and says, I'm washed by the blood. There ain't nothing. I'm never going to walk away from God, never going to do wrong to God. So therefore, it don't matter what the enemy does, already defeated, because Jesus has all power, all authority, all might, all dominion, and the name that's above every name, not only in this age, but in every age to come.
Amen.
And therefore...
I don't know that.
I have no idea. That's a very interesting statement.
Yeah.
Well, Chris was the sacred mother and Loretta's sister.
You know, and we had wondered before if Charity was Crystal's daughter or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got 3 minutes, and I want to say one more thing.
All right.
And this is...
Oh, Sunday says yes, she is.
Wow. Thank you, Sunday.
Yeah.
I can't see any of the words you're saying, but I really appreciate it.
Okay, go ahead.
No idea where I've lost you on this computer, but I know you're here somewhere. But I want us to think about ourselves. Think about you. Hebrews says to lay aside the sin that easily besets you. I can't lay aside Leanne's sin as much as I want to.
You just can't do it, huh?
I mean, I go over and pick it up off her and try to lay it down on the couch and say, would you just get rid of that? But see, that's out of order. I can't do that. I can only lay aside my own sin. So let's look at ourselves as men and women, and I got 2 minutes left. What is the sin of a man but arrogance and stubbornness and I've done it this way my whole life, I ain't doing anything. That's a man, you know. Or you a weakness from your childhood that you never got over and you're holding that weakness up. Right? So that's what men deal with. What's the sin of women?
We don't have any.
You don't have any?
No.
Help me, Brother Dan. Dan's like, you're in this one all by yourself, Buster. But you gotta be willing to face yourself. Because if you're not willing to face yourself, you won't ever go another step, because there's only one person holding you back, and that's you. And women have a tendency to just talk. The Bible calls them busybodies, always talking and gossiping. So that's a problem. But you don't. It doesn't have to be.
Is that seriously in the Bible? Calls women busybodies.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to have to really look that
up. It doesn't specify women, does it? It just says busybodies. I'll look it up right now because I don't do know what it is.
Well, I'll tell you where to go, but I'm going to let you just dig a little bit so you can see it. But what did the book of Proverbs say? It's better to dwell on the housetop on a rainy day than with a wife that's a dripping, 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 dripping noise.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I'm not holding anybody to any of their sins. My point is this. No, it's not my point. It's the Holy Spirit point. Whether you're a male or female, by nature of your... gender. I couldn't think of the right word. By nature of your gender, there are specific things you're going to have to fight. Because fallen man, fallen woman, are going to give in to those things. So the fiery darts of the enemy are going to come to do its best to cause you to fall to those things because you are a man or you are a woman. And the only way that you get to be past that is that you take a look in the mirror and say, I'm talking to the man in the mirror. I'm telling him to change his way. I don't know if it's the only song he wrote that was any good, but that was a good one.
That was a good one.
Why? Because you got to realize you got to change you by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And we've just said, man, I'm just a man. You got to put up with it. Oh, no, we don't. You might be a man. Get yourself submitted to God and change. Well, ain't nobody ever made me change. Well, then stay the same and see what happens when you stand before God. Because he expects everybody to grow and develop in one way or another. And at least give him interest on the gift he put on the inside of you. And the reason why I'm saying that is not to bind anybody down, but you got to be willing to look yourself in the mirror and say, you got to get over yourself. Because if you don't, then somebody else is going to have to do it. Now you're going to be offended at it. It'll be your pastor, and now you'll be offended at the pastor. I'm not getting a whole lot of amens right now, but that's the way it don't matter. I didn't say this for amens. I said it to obey the Holy Spirit of God. Because I don't have to deal with women situations except when I'm dealing with her. Lord have mercy, is that ever so? No.
Okay. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Yeah. Says, busybodies. Well, we hear that there are some who walk alone in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies.
And that would be women not working at all. No way. Everybody listen. Yeah. I don't want anybody offended at me when we go. I want you to think about something. In the day that they wrote this book, the Bible, when Paul was writing the letters, women didn't have a career.
Right, that's true.
Right? So they were homemakers, mothers, and then take care of whatever part of the family business they would take. But they didn't have a career. They didn't go get in a car and drive somewhere and have a job sitting at a desk as a secretary. So there's a little bit different understanding of how it would be.
Here's the second one.
That's why Paul said to women in the church, be silent. All right. But that's not what he was saying. Paul was saying, if you got a question, don't bring it up in the middle of service when the preacher's trying to preach. Go home, ask your husband. And he's not telling women to be silent. He's just saying when you're in a public setting, it's not right to interrupt the preacher to ask a question. Save it for the end. Say it to your own husband. You know, all he was talking about was order in the service. Let all things be done decently and in order.
Yeah.
So I don't want anybody offended at me. Men don't have any less problems than women, and women don't have any less problems than men. Whatever is natural to you, deal with that. So when you get to heaven, the Father says, well done. You focused yourself in the mirror and said, we're going to get past this. And we will not be bound any longer. Some of the things that you and I have been bound by our whole life, and them are difficult to change.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? What's on the other side of that when you actually can call change, change, and you've actually changed, is an amazing life. Because now you're free and you don't ever have to be bound by that stuff again. And thank God for that in
Amen.
Jesus' name. Did that make sense what I was trying to say?
Yep. Yep.
Did you feel like I was too hard on the men or the women?
No.
Are
no,
you sure?
It's just all dealing with ourselves. Here's the second verse, Mary. It's 1 Timothy 5:13. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not.
Those were talking about widows.
Yep. Busybodies.
Wow. So yes, that is definitely in the Bible. On more than one occasion, there is one in Proverbs too.
Well, there's a whole bunch of them about women running their mouths.
Yeah.
wait, listen to this statement. Because I honestly do not have any animosity for women at all. A man on a good day will say 7,000 words. A woman on a slow day will say 20,000 words.
And I'd like you to all know that that is exactly the opposite in our house.
But why? Because God gave women the ability to describe something.
Details, yeah.
Why did Jesus reveal himself first to a woman? Because she'd tell you about the flowers, she'd tell you about the grass, she'd tell you about the dew, she'd tell you about the sunlight glistening through the branches, what Jesus looked like, how white his robe was. And Peter would say,
All the important stuff.
All of it. And Peter would have said, Jesus was there. And that's all he would have said.
Yeah.
But see, listen to this statement. This is from Dr. Evan Lewis Cole, one of the greatest minds on men and women. One of the greatest men who received revelation from God. Men are the headline. Women are the fine print.
Yeah.
Right? What's in a headline? 6 or 8 words. What's underneath? 680 words. Right? And it's not wrong or right. It's learning that process and then not letting that limit you or cause you to sin. Either side of it. So that's what I'm saying to us. It's kind of circling the wagons for the whole night is make sure you are dealing with you. Don't quit worrying about everybody else. Pray for them. Ask God to change their life, but you can't change somebody else's life. And we're going to stand in the gap for our families, our children, our loved ones, our friends. But after that, bottom line, they got to make their own choice.
Yes. Do not let yourself get hung up in their stuff.
You can't get hung up. And don't let any offense stop you.
Yeah.
In Jesus' mighty name. Come back tomorrow night. We're going to begin somehow. What's today?
Today is Friday.
So tomorrow night's Saturday.
Yes.
Tomorrow night's question and answer session. We might do that. Well, anyways. I'm just letting you know, the bait of Satan is coming your way, and you're going to love it. If you've never been a part of it,
soon
you're going to love it. Now, John's really young in this. I think it was his first book he ever wrote, was the bait of Satan. But powerful, powerful revelation that will set you free in Jesus' mighty name. Well, Sister Phyllis, you got the closing verses?
Right here.
Hallelujah.
Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others prayed with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh.
Amen. And amen. Now, hold your hands up and just say it with me. Jesus, I receive the hundredfold.
Jesus, I receive the hundredfold.
For my time, talent, and treasure.
For my time, talent, and treasure.
That I sold tonight.
That I sold tonight.
I want my hundredfold.
I want my hundredfold.
Preaching the gospel on this earth.
Preaching the gospel on this earth.
Not in a storeroom in heaven.
Not in a storeroom in heaven.
I receive it.
I receive it.
And I sow it in Jesus' mighty name.
And I sow it in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Until we see you again, this is what we say. We love
we
you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
Hey, Brother Dan joined us. Bless you, Dan. Love you, man.
Good night, Dan. Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, Sunday. Good night, Kathy.
Good night. Love
you guys.
All. I'm home.
I love it that you're home, love.
Hello. I hold my load.
And you hold my load.
And everything was in good shape. But I need to be out there at about 7 o'clock in the morning. So I got to watch some videos on how to make my lights work. Didn't we turn them on and they have lights?
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't get it to turn on. The little handle knob thing that you pull out because the Nord turn the lights on, you pull them out. It won't stick to anything in there to pull.
I know there isn't. Usually those have a hole in them with a hook on them if they're a pulley thing. If it isn't, it's just a twisty thing. It's
okay.
A new style, love.
Yeah, I know. It was a good day. And tomorrow we're filling frac tanks, so that means we get paid $39 an hour all day long.
Wow.
Yes, wow is the right statement. All right, so now I got to find the YouTube and change it and make it like it needs to. Light switch problem and fix. There it is.
This is what we're looking for. There's one screw here, and then two screws down below, I think. Okay, so this is the actual light switch. We took the cover off.
Love, do you want something to eat?
It did have the wires.
Did you read the thing about Francetta today?
Which went right back here, but we just disconnected those.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
So, yeah.
Oh, Roger, message. I'm waiting for notification on YouTube and getting my battery changed. Very low.
It was just this part, and then it did not come with this metal part right here. But here are all the connectors. We just need to connect it up. We're going to get a little bit of, what is that stuff?
I'm coming home to you. Night, 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 night. I'm coming home to you.